The great sage Maitreya said, "Madhya Vidura, all the personalities present were very much satisfied in heart and soul upon hearing the words of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the benedictors." Purport. In this verse, Lord Shiva is described as Midustama, the best of the benedictors. He is also known as Asutosha, which indicates that he is very quickly satisfied and very quickly angered. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that less intelligent persons go to demigods for material benedictions. In this connection, people generally go to Lord Shiva, and because he is always quickly satisfied and gives benedictions to his devotees without consideration, he is called Midustama, or the best of the benedictors. Materialistic persons are always anxious to get material profits, but they are not serious about the spiritual profit. Sometimes, of course, it so happens that Lord Shiva becomes the best benedictor in spiritual life. It is said that once a poor Brahmana worshipped Lord Shiva for a benediction, and Lord Shiva advised the devotee to go to see Sanatana Goswami. The devotee went to Sanatana Goswami and informed him that Lord Shiva had advised him to seek out the best benediction from him. Sanatana. Sanatana had a touchstone with him, which he kept with the garbage. On the request of the poor Brahmana, Sanatana Goswami gave him the touchstone, and the Brahmana was very happy to have it. He now could get as much gold as he desired simply by touching the touchstone to iron. But after he left Sanatana, he thought, if a touchstone is the best benediction, why has Sanatana Goswami kept it with the garbage? He therefore returned and asked Sanatana Goswami, "Sir, if this is the best benediction, why did you keep it with the garbage?" Sanatana Goswami then informed him, "Actually, this is not the best benediction, but are you prepared to take the best benediction from me?" The Brahmana said, "Yes, sir. Lord Shiva sent me to you for the best benediction." Then Sanatana Goswami asked him to throw the touchstone in the water nearby and then come back. The poor Brahmana did so. And when he returned, Sanatana Goswami initiated him with the Hare Krishna mantra. Thus, by the benediction of Lord Shiva, the Brahmana got the association of the best devotee of Lord Krishna, who was thus initiated in the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Aganatmanandashya Ganagana Silakya Shakti Rumiditam Yanatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Prishna Bhutale Shumitavattinant Samtanamana Namaste Sarasvati Deve Guravani Prachami Nivise Sasani Vaki Paskipani. The verse was Maitreya Vacha Tada Sarvani Bhutani Srutva Midustam Moditam Paritushtatmabhistata Saru Saru Vitya Vityata Bruvan. The great sage Maitreya said, "My dear Vidura, all the personalities present were very much satisfied in heart and soul upon hearing the words of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the benedictors." So the story goes on, the continued story of the Bhagavatam. So there's one thing happening after the other. The generations after generations been described, and as the different generations have been described, there are various incidents of great devotees or not so great devotees But even not so great, not so pure as pure devotees that still get the darshan of the Lord due to their sincere prayers and meditation. So here in the case we have, you have been through here, sacrifice performed by Daksha, and Lord Shiva has whatever, restored, or he has, well, whatever, they've in an appropriate way gone to his, I think went to Lord Brahma, got help, and then went to Lord Shiva and asked for forgiveness or something like that. And then he kind of blesses them in various ways, so that the harm of the damage done by, who was that, that demon? Who, Lord Shiva?
Virabhadra,
was that the king called? He created this demon, and then Lord Shiva, and then he went there and like smashed their teeth and plugged out their eyes. Or, tore off their beard and whatever, cut off the head of and someone was cut off the hands also, I think. So the quite a thing. Okay, so they, and now they're all happy, but there was some, I think he didn't get the eyes back and all the teeth and all the, I don't know, the beard, got some goat's beard was said, and what if the arms had to use someone else's arms like that? But still, some of the things were compensated, so it was like they were satisfied. Happy ending. Everyone somewhat happy. But they're actually quite happy. So that is going on. So they're all happy, they were happy at heart. Then it's also said here, they're happy at heart. Okay, nice. No, things are okay. The heart and soul. So here's the point is made that they are happy at heart and soul. Hearing the words of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the benedictors, so Prabhupada goes into that or explains how Lord Shiva is easily, he's mentioned here as Midustama. It's funny with this Midustama, because in the word to word it says Midutama. And I don't read the Sanskrit good, as you know. Now look like a stuma, okay. Okay. So he is the best of benedictors, so you can get whatever you want from him. So that's scary. Whatever I want. Help. Okay. Yeah, well, that maybe you feel, you know, you can get whatever you want. You get a little bit scared, you know, well, you know, can I handle it? Because let's see, if I get whatever I want, you know, then could I handle it? You know, all of a sudden there's all these ladies and this and that and I don't know, whatever, big house and husband and, you know, big car and whatever. And you may think, would I, or you get the become the richest man in the world or the most famous man in the world or whatever, would you be able to handle it? So that's a little bit scary, to get whatever you want. And sometimes you hear these stories about people, not stories, true stories about people winning on the lottery, you know, because everyone plays in the lottery, and then some unfortunate guy actually wins. Sometimes it can be very unfortunate when they win, because then, you know, then all these people come here and they say, oh, Prabhu, can't you help me with this and help me with that, or whatever. Like that, well, the guy just goes off into the casinos or whatever and, you know, just gambles away the money, and after for 6 months, you know, he's even worse than he was before. I mean, that kind of get all drunk and drugs and other women and I don't know what. And then at the end, after 6 months, and one story at least, you know, that the guy ends up like as a complete wreck and a complete bum, so to say. And there was a blessing of the blessing. So that way we don't really know what's going on. Okay, let's see if I got my desires, you know. Will I be so happy? And then some devotee, you know, he got father said, "Okay, my dear son, you know, you can have. Again, I want to give you a car, proper car now." So he gives, you know, this. He gives, you know, he's a so. So the father set certain limits, you know, to the car. You know, it should be so many horsepowers, and this not bigger than this, and whatever. So I guess the son really thinks it out, and gets a really first class hybrid car or something, latest version Toyota or something. The problem is, as far as I can observe, is that then everyone, you know, he gets a very nice car, but then everyone ends up getting envious of him, okay? And then you know, why he's a preacher or whatever, like that. Okay, so, any case, there is, you get a blessing, nice things, but it with it follows other things also. So the question is, can we take the blessings, you know? Like if Lord Shiva, okay. Or you can have this blessing of youth, you know, eternal youth or something, and in case, then you live there eternally young and whatever, or if you don't die, there's nothing, oh, I don't want to die, okay. Then live on, you know. And you get older and older and older, but you don't die. Well, that's what was that? Jonathan Swift. I think that was in this Gulliver's Travels. Jonathan Swift was a priest in Ireland, I think. And he was quite a little bit intelligent. So his Gulliver's Travels is not. It's not stories for kids, it's for grown-ups. It's a criticism of the modern society. So then there were various phenomena there he criticized through these travels. But he visited four countries, these Gullivers. And in one country they had these people who didn't die, okay. And they were kind of, and then believe in the science, you know, we would become immortal or whatever. So he said, how would that look, you know? So there in that country, the imaginary country, there were some people who didn't die. So they had some, you know, bindi on the forehead or something you could see, and they were kind of, oh, doesn't die. Because what happened, the poor person just got older and older and older. And what a mess. So we can always say that in the modern time here, people get a little bit scared. You have all these people, you know, getting older and older, you know. And you get too many old people. You know, that becomes a problem. It should be a proper balance, you know. Not too many old people, not too many. Okay, you know, but of course, if you lived forever, eternally youthful, but of course then you're married to someone and you stay young, but the person you're married to grow old and wrinkled, you know, because then you have to divorce that and hope for the guy to die so they can remarry someone else or something. Yeah, so we have to think what kind of benediction do we want, and he mentioned what Lord Shiva and Prabhupada gives one example here about Sanatana Goswami and the Brahmana. And as I heard the story, Prabhupada gives a story, but the story is, we actually played it as a theater in the beginning when I joined. And there was, the point is, I think the Brahmana asked Lord Shiva for benediction, if you ask for a touchstone. And then Lord Shiva says, in the dream, yes, you know, go to Sanatana Goswami and he will give you, he has a touchstone. So then he goes, you know, please, you know, I've already have a touchstone, most valuable thing, you know, please give it to me. Lord Shiva said, so, because if Lord Shiva said it, then Sanatana Goswami, yes, you can take it, it's lying in the garbage pile. Go find it out there. Okay, and then he goes and finds the touchstone in the garbage pile, and he touches the iron and turns into gold, and he's very happy. Wow, my fortune is made. And then, why was it in the garbage pile? And that's Prabhupada relates here. And then he goes back to Sanatana Goswami, tells him, this is the most valuable thing, you know, why you keep it in a garbage pile? And they, well, there's something more valuable. he's going to have it. Well, are you? Then he said, are you prepared to take it? Because are we prepared to pay the price for the most valuable thing? Then he go, yes, I'm prepared. Okay, then go and throw the then go and throw the whatever touchstone in the river or whatever. Okay, so he goes and throws, knowing that he's going to get something more valuable, and he comes back and then gets the holy name. So that is also, yes, please give me Krishna Prema. I want Krishna Prema. Are you prepared to pay the price? Are you prepared to leave everything behind? You know, are you prepared to give up all material considerations? Are you prepared to fully dedicate yourself to the service of the Lord? Like that, you know. So, you know, yes, we want the, you know, but are we prepared to pay the price? That's the question. Well, they have another story, this about paying the price. And the price to be paid is, yeah, okay, how many millions of dollars do you want? No, it's, I don't want your dollars. You have to leave that behind. Or this or that. We want full, pure, unalloyed devotion. Okay, so there is a story about Narada Muni out traveling. We know Narada Muni, he has got the blessing that he can't stay more than whatever. He can't really stay anywhere. He does have to keep traveling. So he meets, of course he goes through the forest, and then in the forest you see, we know all this. Animals are being half killed. And Narada Muni being, I mean even the modern hunters would say, what is this? Modern hunters, at least in Sweden, they would say, oh, this is terrible, you know. Take away the license, hunter's license, they would say, you know, they wouldn't tolerate such a thing. Not the hunters, maybe the butchers, but any case, no, any case, there's some sense. So the half, and then you see the hunter, and then whatever, he scares away the animals, Narada Muni, whatever, the hunter is upset and whatever, and then they have this small exchange. So it's quite interesting how Narada Muni uses some mystical tricks in his preaching there, because, you know, the hunter, how is it, he's kind of Narada Muni comes there, and then he asks, he asks the hunter, why you have killed them? Why don't you, if you're going to kill them, why don't you kill them fully? Now it's fun to see them. my father taught me. And then, you know, somehow they become mood and they want to give something nice to Narada Muni, but Narada Muni, he asks also what's the problem? What's the problem with half killing? And then Narada Muni puts him into, he makes some hypnotic trick, I would say, so that the hunter then enters into in a state where he can see the future. He sees what is waiting for him, and then he gets scared. And then he asks, what's the solution? Well, I will give you the solution, but first you have to go and throw away your arrows and bows. Well, how am I going to live then? And that's quite a scare, you know. Well, yeah, you want to get it, but you have to throw away that what you think is what maintains you. So let's say, you know, throw away your flat, your car, your business, your pension, I don't know what, whatever you think is materially the thing you depend on in order to live a happy, well, somewhat comfortable life, you know, just throw it away, okay, don't do it. I ask you, please. So sometimes I have crazy people coming. I mean, they're nice because they're crazy. We could say crazy, But in the depths of the heart, I have a desire to whatever, learn to know Krishna and understand and whatever. And then sometimes I just throw everything away and just want to depend on Krishna. But they're not really ready for it. So it turns out a little bit crazy, so to say. And they may end up back in the mental hospital or something, because it's just not balanced. Or there is... Well, they're not ready for it. So that the question is, are we prepared, or prepare, one thing is, are we prepared to pay the price, but are we actually prepared to actually get the benediction? Well, so what will you do with love of Krishna here, you know? You stand and do arctic and you just turn out crying and you know, the hair standing on end and shaking and trembling and they were falling around and rolling on the floor, you know. And they would come and tell you, hey Prabhu, don't be sentimental. Don't be a sahajya. They would say, the fixed up ISKCON devotees. We get them in case. So, but that may happen. So watch out. Are we prepared? Well, of course, then another thing is that, okay, we made them like the Brahmana here. He goes, let me get the highest benediction. Get the highest benediction. Get me a touchstone. But then, we may have one concept of what it's supposed to be like. Yes, Krishna consciousness. Then there's always bliss. we belong to the hippie generation. Please and stay high and be drugged out or whatever. So we think it's some kind of drug that's going to keep us high, and you know, we just walk around and you know, Haribol, Haribol. Then Prabhupada, he gives us the highest benediction. Yes, no, he wants us to do something. You know, he say, get out and reach. He says, to do this or do that. In various ways, you know, just not walk around and be in the blue of the pink clouds. Yeah, just look at the Bhagavad Gita, you know. There, how nice it would be to be have Krishna as your friend. And then you have this Krishna. It just puts you in all these difficulties all the time. You know, the Pandava brothers. You know, the Pandava brothers to be the friend of Krishna. That's a high price. Then you have the ending up, you know, being, you know, almost killed all the time, you know. Actually, it's a real good story for that, I don't know now. And they're trying to make all this in the TV or whatever, films or whatever, to make all kind of things, you know. And they, whatever, I caught it a little bit in the TV, this is very serious. What if they had this 24 hours, I don't know about that, got a little bit, something crazy. And because this hero there, or whatever, yes, he just ends up from the one calamity into the other calamity, and it just gets worse and worse, and I don't know, I just captured something, and then I don't know really how the story ends, but that's how it is. So anyway, this Mahabharat is a little bit like that, you know. They just end up from the one calamity into the other calamity. And finally it's a 13, what is it, 13, was it was 13 years over and they're going to get back the kingdom and even a worse calamity. Okay, we fight this battle and you know then, you know. And then on the last day, you know, on the last night, actually the Pandavas, they were the victors. But actually the war, the battle was not, somehow it was not fully over. I don't know really how it worked out. But they made this camp and they actually had 50,000 soldiers left. The Pandavas had 50,000, just 50,000, okay? After these millions that had been killed. So then, and Duryodhana is lying there in agony, you know, with his spine broken, you know, whatever. And then you have it, how is it? Then there is this Aswatthama. I said, what's Aswatthama? Krita Varma, Kripa Charya, Krita Varma. You know, then, okay, and finally then Ashwatthama gets this, you know. Well, actually, he meets with Lord Shiva there, and he's going to enter into the camp and kill them all while they're sleeping, you know. And then Lord Shiva, they even put Lord Shiva there to protect, you know. But then he makes some sacrifice for Lord Shiva, and then Lord Shiva is pleased. It's Lord Shiva, you know. He's okay, you know. Blessing here, you know. And then Ashwatthama, he goes in like, he becomes death personified, you know, just in supernatural power, and just goes in and slaughters everyone in a cruel way, including the sons of Draupadi, these five sons. Of course, they've grown up enough to be part of the battle of Kurukshetra. And he kills them also, and whatever. So in that way, the one thing worse than the other. But then then that is over. And then they capture Ashwatthama. He sends some Brahmastra, and then I think he sends one Brahmastra, but then I think after that he sends even another one to kill. You know, it's no end to it. Okay, then finally after being totally devastated, everything is totally ruined or whatever. Okay, now I can be the king. And that is not an option. It's not like, now you should be the king. Okay, now, like Yudhisthira. You can have this nice kingdom, everyone is killed or whatever, you know. No, but then, it's not that he... But then, Yudhisthira feels like, I don't want to be the king, I want to take sannyas. This is too much. No, you have to be king, you know. That's Krishna, you know. That may be the price you have to pay for being the friend of Krishna. You want to be the friend of Krishna? Yes, you know. You're prepared to carry the weight of being a close associate of Krishna, if you say like that. Carry the weight. Carry the consequences of being a close associate of Krishna. Then Bhishma Dev is lying there on the bed of arrows, all pierced with arrows and lying there, you know. But then Bhishma Dev preaches to Yudhisthira Maharaj, and then, okay, he rules. And then they rule for whatever, 36 years or something. And then Arjuna is going to see Krishna, and then Krishna disappears, and the horse is broken, and then he comes back to Yudhisthira Maharaj, and when Yudhisthira Maharaj also intelligently sees the symptoms of Kali coming, and then concludes it's time to go. But finally, okay, you're allowed to go when you've gone through it all, apparently. When you go through it all, then he says, okay, then we can go, so to say, when you've fought it all out. Because the point is, we don't know how long time we're going to fight as devotees, with our senses and with our mind, and with our service and with the preaching and with the karmis and with the demons, and with the devotees, wasn't it really? We fight with the devotees, various complications and conflicts and whatever. So then at one point you may be allowed to go, go back to Godhead or somewhere, better place or to continue preach. So that way, we're getting, how nice it would be to be the friend of Krishna. Yes, are we prepared to carry the consequences, the weight of Krishna's friendship? Well, like, you know, in one sense, I wasn't able to be very close to Prabhupada in that sense, like Tama Krishna Goswami or Jayapataka Swami or Giriraj Swami and whoever, they all had the opportunity to be, so to say, comparatively close to Prabhupada, or Harikesh was close to him, in a way, serving like that. I wasn't. Well, I wouldn't have been able to carry the consequences, because it would be too, most probably. I was not whatever, suited for that. Because Prabhupada wanted things done. You know, he asked, do this, do that, and you know. And you know, oh, how nice to be this, you can say this. Oh, Harisori Prabhu, tell me how nice it was to be the servant of Prabhupada. Yes, or this Ruta Kirti Prabhu, and like that. Yeah, how well, you know. Yes, it was nice, it was attractive, but at the same time, it was really demanding. I mean, Prabhupada was demanding, it was not some. So it was not cheap, was not, you could say, it was not a cheap thing to be the servant of Prabhupada or the secretary of Prabhupada. So that we can say something valuable like that is not cheap. It's not a cheap thing. No, it carries its consequences. And the question is, are we prepared to take it? And when we're prepared to take it, then we maybe also can take it, and it can be, so to say, useful. Because if you're not prepared, or if you're not mature or ready, then it may just simply crash us, so to say. There was one devotee in Janmalaya Tamriki, he said, now he had the opportunity to, in Mayapur, in the early days, in 75 or 74 or something, he was actually there in Mayapur serving Prabhupada. And he did some mistake. And he was not a personal servant like that, but he did some mistake. And Prabhupada got so angry on him. And he just got completely depressed and said, no, it's but of course, it was, he said it was really heavy. He was really feeling, feeling terrible, so to say. But then Prabhupada said, then Janmalaya, he had to go to, I think he spoke with Bhavananda, said, you know, what's happening. And then, but then somehow they came that he met with Prabhupada again, did something, and Prabhupada just touched him, said, it's okay. Okay, it's like that, and then it was okay. But it was tough. It was demanding, so to say. So that way we may think, oh yes, this or that, but what will it, we may have some concept, it would be nice, but we don't know really what it will look like. But of course, we should qualify, we can say maybe that's a question for us to as gradually qualify to be close associates of the Lord, let's say. Because maybe that's, we want closeness. I mean, we can also, in ISKCON, I confirmed. In ISKCON, Tai Shi Shi Goni Tai Ki.
Yeah.
Now we are talking about sometimes. You know, but sometimes we feel a little bit alienated, or like, you know, there's not really contact, or we're each doing this little thing, you know, we don't really know what the other's doing, and you know, you can be quite lone, so to say, in our ISKCON movement. Yes, if you had someone to be close with. Of course. So that is maybe, okay, then we end up getting married or something, I don't know. And then I don't necessarily know if that works out either, as we thought, or as the devotees think. But that is a concept. We want to be close. Or you want to feel that there's someone understands you and whatever, you can have a close, reveal your heart, you know. As if, what is that? Now my mind is. What is that? Tadati pratigrinati guhyamachi pratyagela guhyamachi. You know, in confidence reveal your heart and all these things. Be close in that sense. So in one sense, yes. I mean, that desire or that move is there. You know, you want to be close in some way to someone. And then, of course, we're so fried with the devotees and with the karmis and with the parents, so we want to be close to Krishna. And of course, Krishna is close. He is the closest because he's already there as a Paramatma in our heart. As a Avigyata, unknown friend. Or unknown a friend in our heart that we forgot it. So he's actually already there. But in one sense, he knows us. So in that sense, he also knows what we can take. Because then sometimes as devotees we experience that you just get into a situation where it just seems like you're cornered and it just gets worse and worse. But still, Krishna, but then the question is, what is the lesson to be learned? So say, and the lesson is maybe not to fight. Not to fight. Because you're fighting and fighting and it just gets worse and worse and so on. Well, just sit down. Sometimes for someone maybe, okay, just sit down and relax, take some prasadam, okay? Because if you get too into your mind, well, why we want to fight? What is false ego, pride, prestige? What is motivating us? If the motivation is wrong, then it may just end up in the wrong corner. Even though we may be, so to say, doing the right thing, but if the motivation is wrong, then it turns out wrong, more depending on our motivation than, well, I'm doing the right thing, and you're not doing the right thing. Well, that's a matter of doing, but then it's a matter of motivation also, and that we can feel. So it can be quite tough. Okay, so I said not fight, something. Sometimes not to fight, but to surrender to the will of Krishna.